Louis XIV, Louis XIV dies in 1714, and there's a sigh of relief and hope for national revival. And this ushers in the period of the Regency, and we talk about the Regency, Montesquieu as a writer of the Regency. It's known as, it's almost like the naughty 90s or the roaring 1920s. Louis's court was rather gloomy, very deeply Catholic and religious, and all of a sudden, the regent, the king's nephew, Philip of Orléans, he's a bon vivant, he loves to have a good time, he's a hedonist, and anything goes. And so Paris of the period is full of mirth and delight and drunkenness, revelry, and also financial excess. The governor of the Bank of France is a Scotsman named John Law, who devises what I suppose we would now call a Ponzi scheme, but a very elaborate scheme whereby he sells shares in Mississippi. And lots of people buy these shares, and a speculative bubble develops, and eventually this house of cards comes crashing down, and everybody goes bankrupt, including the King of France's brother. So an interesting time, but also a time when it is possible to be philosophically more open and to build on these the opinions I was just talking about, the practices, scientific practices I was talking about, and the new philosophy really takes root. And so by the time Montesquieu writes the Persian Letters in 1721, there's a certain toleration to new ideas, a certain openness to the implications of the rise of science, relativism, so the Catholic moral doctrine is no longer taken necessarily as the gospel truth. In other words, one is allowed to be skeptical, provided one isn't an absolute heretic. And French thinkers are building through this network, this Republic of Letters, are building contacts throughout Europe and are seeing intellectual affinities with their Dutch and British counterparts. That has a lasting influence on the Enlightenment, and really, I think, comes to fruition in the 1750s in the work of Diderot in 1760s and the Encyclopedia. So Montesquieu becomes a mature thinker at a time when scientific achievements and speculative philosophy posed profound challenges to the status quo, to theology, when it became possible to voice uncertainty about the workings of the universe. One could ask questions about the age of the universe, about the size of the universe. Geology is and mineralogy have implications for religious doctrine. And so numerous people are thinking about the practice of individual societies. And because the age, the 18th century, is also an age of commercial expansion and travel. Okay, we think of Captain Cook later on, much later on, but people are traveling to the Orient above all and seeing that highly sophisticated societies don't do things the way the French do, or the English, or Europeans in general. And so the comparative study of civilization becomes of interest. And Montesquieu is there really at the cutting edge of this and able to take advantage of it. He's interested in English science and philosophy, but he's also interested in the works of travel literature that are being read about the East.